Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
Now back in making his 11th appearance with us here is former Steelers Pro Bowl linebacker LaVon Kirkland. Let me remind you a little bit about LaVon's background. He's from Lamar, South Carolina, played his college ball at Clemson, where he was a consensus All-American in 1991. He is also a member of their All-Century team and was inducted into their Hall of Fame back in 2001. He was also inducted into the state of South Carolina's Athletic Hall of Fame in 2008. He was a second-round draft pick in 1992 by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he played in the NFL from 92 to 2002, all but those last two seasons with the Steelers. He spent 1 year each in Seattle and Philadelphia. He was selected for the Pro Bowl in back-to-back years in 1996 and 97. He was the Steelers' team MVP in 1998 and 99, and was also named to the NFL's All-Decade Team for the 1990s. Last year, he was inducted into the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. He is in our guest Hall of Fame, and he was recently named vice president of the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, and we are very thrilled that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, LaVon, Chris, and Bob, happy Super Bowl week. How
Welcome
are you, my
back,
friend?
LaVon. Hello, Chris and Bob. How are you guys doing today?
We're fantastic. Thank you, LaVon. LaVon, congratulations on the new role as vice president of the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. How did that come about?
You know, it's always something that I've always envisioned myself doing, which is making a difference through football. Basically, it was a God thing. You know, David Watts, who's ahead of Watts Sports Management, had me in mind to help them do some fundraising, and they simply asked me, and I took a look at it and said, hey, man, this is what I always wanted to do. So I jumped at the opportunity.
So what's your role? What's your role there day to day now?
You know, basically, I'm kind of the face of of the Hall of Fame. I do a lot of, you know, branding and marketing. You've probably seen some stuff on Facebook or Twitter. Also, I'm one of the major fundraisers, so I'm doing a lot of that, getting a lot of contact with a lot of great people, and basically our goal is to make to build a museum learning center, which is going to house not only the inductees of the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, but it's going to be an avenue for young people. It's going to be also a place to house and really just entertain some of the other entities in South Carolina. So we're looking really forward to what the future holds.
LaVon, switching gears a little bit, I want to get your reaction to your Clemson Tigers winning the national championship, having done so now two of the last 3 years. So it seems like, you know, every year people are talking about how to beat Alabama, and Alabama being, you know, the one that everyone is talking about. But, boy, it sure seems like Clemson needs to be the team everybody's talking about now. Talk about the big win for your alma mater.
It was a huge win. It was a win that I think really put the stake in the ground for Clemson football. Wow. Yeah. I think it really puts it sick. I'm tired. Okay, I'm back. We're talking about Clemson University National Championship. And this really, I think, really sets the bar for our university and what we're all about. Dabo's done a tremendous job with the team, and there's a certain culture there that really represents family, faith, and really helping these young men be incredible men when they leave the university. And you can really tell that. I mean, to beat Alabama in the fashion that we beat Alabama, that's a wow factor. I think that gets everybody's attention. And I thought it was amazing. And we played true freshmen. True freshmen had a big part in what we did. So the future is bright at Clemson. I really believe that we're going to be the team to beat. We're going to be the Alabama in the next few years.
LaVon, I got to get your thoughts on what's going on with the Steelers. And we were talking about this with JT Thomas at the top of the show. I never would have guessed that the Steelers would be a team with so much drama going on. What needs to change with the Steelers?
It is surprising because when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, you think about class, you think about a team that's always a contender to win the Super Bowl, and you think about the Rainey family and what they represent. It's really hard to fathom what's going on, and you kind of lost control of the locker room. And I think Tomlin is a great coach. I really do. I've been around him. I've been through their camps, and he was the kind of guy that I wanted to play for. I think sometimes when we're football players, we get a little bit too much into our own heads, and we forget about, it's a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. And we kind of think about ourselves. And, it's just unfortunate that a team as talented as the Pittsburgh Steelers weren't in the playoffs. I think they could have really made a major difference or, be in the Super Bowl this year. But it goes to tell you, man, team chemistry goes a long way. And you can tell they were just not quite in sync this year. There was always some rumblings going on. I don't know what really needs to change. I think that people have to get together, and I think that it needs to be some serious talk because, you don't want to get rid of someone who's, as talented as the Pittsburgh Steelers has. And it's something that it has to be worked out. If not worked out, then you have to part ways and just go in a different direction. But it's sad to see, it go down the way it went down.
Can you envision that they could have a sort of a meeting with Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger and Tomlin and Kevin Colbert? I mean, just sort of a come together and say, hey, can this be worked out? And then figure out at the course of the end of that conversation whether they move forward with Antonio Brown or make a trade. Does that sort of stuff actually go on where they have that stuff, have those kind of conversations?
I think when a player is like that's involved, when you're talking about all-time greats, then there's probably some conversation going on. You don't want to get rid of those two players. You don't want to really part ways because, I mean, on the field, they're dynamic. And I think if you're a GM or president, owner, you want to work that situation out because those are two valuable players that are still very good that you don't want to lose at this point in time. So, some egos are going to have to be set aside for this to work out. If not, it's just going to, it's going to be something that we're going to look down the line and say, man, what a shame.
Bob, questions for LaVon?
It's always a pleasure to have you on, LaVon, and belated Happy New Year to you. And we had talked in the past, LaVon, about how you were the recipient of some great coaching. And I look back even at your rookie year, and, of course, Cowher being the head coach. But then again, on the defensive side, you have Dom Capers, you have Vic LeBeau, Marvin Lewis, and others. If those guys weren't there in your indoctrination into the league, LaVon, do you think you would have been the player that you really became?
Totally not. I think that's a part of it. I was very fortunate to be a part of a great team with a young coaching staff, with some innovative coaches that not only knew the game, but believed in me as a player because I never played the inside position before I got there. And they had patience with me. And I think Marvin did a great job as far as coaching me, really making sure I paid attention to detail, technique was really important. And, you know, being a young man and, you know, like, I think when you're in college a little bit, you're kind of talked down to, especially back in those days. So it's really refreshing to have coaches like Dom Capers and Dick LeBeau who treated you like a man. That, you know, they didn't yell at you. They just kind of correct you. They just instruct you. And I really enjoyed that. And I love the pace of football we played. And defense was a premium with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it was a lot of fun. But I think if that coaching staff wasn't in place, it might have turned out different. It might have turned out better. Who knows? But it turned out pretty well. So those coaches I owe a lot to.
And LeVon, how about comparing the linebacker position for us right now as opposed to it when you played? You've been out of the league for about 16 years. For first and foremost, they seem to throw the ball a lot more, but any other things that come to mind, the linebacking position now as opposed to maybe 20 years ago?
Well, yeah, I think the game is a little different. It's played out of space a lot more, so you're not going to get a lot of big guys like myself that are really playing that position because you got to be able to run, you got to be able to play man-to-man, but you also got to stop the run. So I think that position is a combination now of guys who have really great speed and good enough size. Now, I was probably unique during my time as a player. But I think now you're looking for guys who have high motors, can run side to side. And, you know, these guys got to be very smart nowadays. So you're looking for that lateral movement. You're looking for a guy who doesn't mind contact. Good tackler, very good cover guy. So I don't know if that position is a traditional position that it was before. Maybe you bring safeties down the line, you know, from the safety position up to linebacker, but I think sometimes you run into a little danger with that because they could be a little lighter. So I think you're ideally looking for a guy who's 240 that can move side to side, who's willing to go downhill and attack the run because teams are still running the ball. They're just running it they're running a formation that looks like it's a pass formation. But they're doing a nice job of window dressing. Offense, I think, athletically wise, are a little bit ahead of defenses. So you gotta find a guy that fits that mold. And sometimes you may have a unique guy in that situation, but I think he's looking for a guy who's kind of a cross between a safety and a linebacker.
And LeVon, talking about trying to find a guy, everyone's trying to find a guy that can cover Rob Gronkowski. We've seen great players like Eric Berry not be able to do that. You seem like the kind of guy that could have done that, right? You're a big guy that could match up with him. You were a big guy that could run. It seems like you would be the guy everyone's trying to find, right?
Well, you know, maybe the 260 version, if you could find that guy. I think that guy's really hard to find. And I think also, you know, I think tight ends are really not jammed on the line of scrimmage. The linebackers that we had with, especially Jason Gilden, and, you know, of course, Kevin and Greg and Carlos, they did a good job of really getting a hand on that tight end. And I know it was a little different because the tight end wasn't the main target, but a couple guys like Ben Coach, I cover guys like Shannon Sharp, and those guys were the two guys that were can run, big guys, and so I could cover those guys. So I think physically, I can get with them, and I can run down the field with them. I think now it's such a mismatch because you got guys that are like basketball players, they're like power fours, and they're playing against the typical safety or the typical linebacker. And I think nowadays you got to change that position. That position has got to evolve in some kind of way. So I think those guys that are kind of typical are going to have a tough time covering the tight ends that you're seeing being produced right now.
To your point, LeVon, and something that, you know, Bob and I talk about this often, and it drives my father crazy. What you talked about right there is guys like Gronk getting a free release off the line of scrimmage. It sort of makes us shake our head. Why does that happen? Why would you not jam him and at least knock him off the route and knock the timing off a little bit? But when you let a guy like that get a free release, it just makes it seems to me like it would make it that much harder to try to cover him because he is so big.
Yeah, I think it makes it extremely difficult to cover a guy, especially when that guy knows exactly where he's going. And it's a timing thing, and you're not jamming him. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I think when you got a player like that, you have to jam him. You have to get physical with him. I know that the NFL is more offensive-driven. It's always been that way. But I think you got to play physical. You got to make the referees make those calls. And you got to give him a tough day. You got to make him pay the price for trying to catch the ball and get off the line of scrimmage. I really don't understand why it's not that way. I know that, honestly, what I saw when I was coaching, that technique over the tight end is just lost. The guys don't even, you know, they're over the tight end, and they're looking in the backfield because they want to get a sack or rush the passer. So a lot of times these guys are not even keying the tight end, so he's getting a free release. But I don't really understand that. I think sometimes everybody's trying to be a guru, and I think sometimes defense can be a little simpler and really work. So I can't really answer your question. I don't know why defensive coordinators don't really emphasize doing that. Or if they emphasize doing that, the players are definitely not doing that. So it's a little monkey wrench in the communication that's going on between defensive coordinators and the guys that are on the field.
LeVon, we've heard that Keith Butler is going to also take on not only the defensive coordinator role, which he's had, but he's also going to be coaching the linebackers. Can you do both of those things successfully? It seems like a lot to ask a guy to do both of those roles.
I tend to lean toward it's a lot to ask a guy to do that. I really do, because you got to worry about schemes. You got to worry about pass combinations, passing concepts, the run game. You got a lot for a defensive coordinator, and that's normally why in the NFL you don't see defensive coordinators being the position coach either. I think it's tough. I'm not saying that he can't do it, but I think it's tough. I think you need position guys so you can focus in on really making great calls and really having some help, to be honest with you. It's a huge job. I really, all my time in the NFL, I've never really seen that, where a defensive coordinator is going to also be a position coach. I think it's a little tough, but if that's the way they want to go, then so be it.
Bob, one more for LeVon before we let him go.
Sure. LeVon, we talked about your new position, and hearing you talk about linebackers as eloquently as you do, I was just wondering, do you think you ever might reconsider about coaching down the road? Is that something that you're going to put off for now, or do you still have that interest?
I think it's always in me, to be quite honest with you, but I am happy with what I'm doing. I really like it. The culture's great. The people are great, and, you know, it's a bigger purpose than myself. So I like the job. I really do like the job. But I think if a team calls, I have to be, you know, I think I have to consider it. I really do. So, I think that coaching thing is always there. I'm still doing football camps and helping young people out. So, I am getting my coaching fix. But I really believe that, you know, if an opportunity is open, yeah, why not consider it? So, but I think, like, going back, I think trying to coach a linebacker and trying to also coach the defense is tough. I did it myself when I was coaching at, I was coaching in college. And it's tough duty. It really is tough duty. So, that'll be interesting to see what happens.
LaVon, before we let you go, we got to get your pick for Sunday. Who do you like, Patriots or Rams?
Oh, man. You would put me on the spot here. You know, I know a lot of people are going with the Patriots, and I can understand why. Very well coached. They do a tremendous job at the quarterback position, which is the most important position in the world, but I think the Rams are going to play aggressive, and I think they're going to get out of it. And I think that they got a definite shot. So I'm just going to go away from the crowd at this point in time, and I'm going to go with the Rams on this one. Don't ask me the score because I don't know it, but it's one game. It's one game. You don't have to be the greatest during the season. It's that one game where you got to ball out. And I think that if, when you put it that way, then yeah, you got an opportunity. You know, forget about their genius and they do this and they do that. Man, you got to play your butt off and you got to take it to them. I always believe that when a team supposed to be better, you, the other team, you got to be more aggressive. And I feel that there's a thing called law of momentum. And for the Patriots, things are probably in their favor. But I think as the Los Angeles Rams, you have to take that away from them. And the only way you do that is you become super, super aggressive, and they have to kill you to beat you. That's how I look at it. So I think they have a chance. Do the Rams do? I don't know. So they got to come out there, and they just got to swing. They got to punch. And they just got to be determined that they're not going to lose. If they got that mindset, then they're going to be just fine. So I'm going to pick the Rams. I'm going to go against conventional thinking. I'm going to go against what the crowd is saying and go with the Rams because I think they do have the talent to win. I think that if they put Khalid on elements, I think they got a super chance to win. And they can put some pressure on Tom Brady. They got a chance.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I got the Rams, too. So
thank you.
I love it.
All right.
That's fantastic. LaVon, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing and follow you online and on social media.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got the South Carolina Hall of Fame on every day for Facebook, Twitter, that you can reach us at. My personal email, Twitter is 44_Kirkland. So you can reach me there. I also have a coach's page, on Facebook, and I have, a Facebook page. And basically, a lot of times I'm really, doing things for the Hall of Fame. So I'm very excited about what we're doing. It's a lot of fun thus far. And, you know, we're changing lives through football. I think football is one of our last rituals. I think it teaches a lot about life. It gives you some incredible soft skills that you can take into the workplace. So that's what we're trying to provide. We're trying to get our athletes at a very young age and raise them up in the right way. Mentoring that I might not have, it's time for us to give that back and really teach them some real life skills. And they can take that on. And they can be successful no matter what they do. Go to college, don't go to college, military, go to the NFL. We're going to support them for their whole life. And that's what I like about it.
It's great stuff, LaVon. And we can't thank you enough for sharing your stories and your insights with us and being a part of the show as often as you have. That's why you're in our guest Hall of Fame. We thank you very much for your time tonight. And we are already looking forward to the next time we get to spend some time with you.
Well, you know, I always appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for having me. God bless, man. And have a great time watching the Super Bowl, okay?
Thank you, LaVon. Take care. All the best to you and your family, LaVon. We'll catch up soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good night.
That is the great LeVon Kirkland. And Bob, you know, you want to talk about a guy who was one of the most supremely talented athletes as a linebacker, a guy that was, you know, bigger than most linebackers, but had the speed, you know, to go along with, you know, any of the fastest guys in the linebacking core that you could possibly find. That's why I say LeVon Kirkland is the guy that I think if you're going to stop Gronk, who do you need and what are you looking for in the guy that can do that and match up with a guy like Gronk? I think it's LeVon Kirkland. I think he's the prototype.
A good point, Chris. I mean, he had the size. I mean, again, he played at 270. And, again, you hear him always say, be aggressive, got to be aggressive, get in their face, whatever you got to do. Whatever else everybody else has done hasn't worked. So I would listen to LeVon. Always so fun talking to him, Chris. He will celebrate his 50th birthday in 2 weeks. So we're honored every time he decides to come on, one of our favorites for sure.
Yes, he is. And again, as we've said many, you know, every time he's come on the show, and I want to repeat it here, LeVon Kirkland was guest number one on episode number one with us on the show back in September of 2011. And one of the great things about LeVon Kirkland and having agreed to do that, he's coming on a show, obviously, that he never heard of with two hosts that he never heard of. And he did it and he was great. And he's been great ever since. So we owe a lot to LeVon Kirkland, and thanks to him for joining us again tonight. All right, Bob and I will come back. We'll turn on our Thursday night tailgate spotlight on the positive, and we're going to do that on the other side of these words about our great friends at the Salt Creek Golf Retreat and DP Quality Foods.